If you could turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and Ephesians, we'll be going through verses 25 through chapter 6, verse 3 as well. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Hope that you have a wonderful day today. And it's always was a fun time for me when I was growing up, Mother's Day for my mom. We'd always try to make it super special. I feel like sometimes we made it less special by what we did. Trying to make lunch didn't always turn out great, but it made us appreciate our mom the rest of the time because we realized, wow, she actually does a lot that we need her to do and that we cannot do. But I think she always appreciated our effort, and I hope she did. I think she said that she did, but it definitely makes me appreciate now the time that I had with my mom, now that I'm apart from her and a long ways away. And for those of you that are apart from your mom on this Mother's Day, whether by distance or she's already she's no longer with you, it makes you really appreciate the times that you had. And I'm very thankful for mothers, and obviously we would not be here without them, and more than one way. But as we consider this morning, I want you to ask the question, does your mom, or does the mom in your life know that you love her? And each of us have a different relationship with moms, whether it is our wives, that is the mother of our children, or it is our mom, whether it is a mom that you're associated with, do they know that you love her? And that you cherish her. Do you say it? I would hope that we at the very least would say that we love those around us. But even more than that, do we live out in front of the ladies in our lives that we love them? Do our actions actually say that we back up with what we say to them? You see, the two closest people to moms are their husbands and their children, more often than not. You see, and in Ephesians, as we're going to look at this morning, the challenge that is being given here to the church at Ephesus is that we need to all show love to all those around us, but specifically, as we consider mothers today, both the husbands and the children are specifically commanded to show that love and that respect to those mothers. When we consider, are we showing that love, I want you to think about 1 John 3:18. It says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And are we just saying that we love those around us, specifically moms, or are we showing it by how we act? Why don't you hold your place in Ephesians chapter 5 and turn with me quickly to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 is a very famous passage when we consider wives and mothers, when we consider the ladies in our lives. It is the example, the Proverbs 31 woman is referred to many times as an example for ladies and how they are to live their lives. But specifically in verse 28, when we think about how do we show our mothers and the ladies in our lives that we love them, verse 28 gives us an idea. It says, Proverbs 31, 28, "Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her." You think about the ladies in our lives. Are we raising up? Are we going about and are we saying that we are blessed by them? And are we living that out in front of them as well? Let's open up with a word of prayer and then we will get into Ephesians this morning. Lord, I thank you for the time we can open up your word. Thank you, Lord, for the ladies in our lives. And Lord, whether the ladies here are mothers or they have a mother or they, Lord, have all these different types of relationships, Lord, I pray for those of us that are children that have mothers, those of us that are husbands that have wives, that we would consider this morning how we can show greater love to those ladies in our lives and why we should be doing that and how we should base that love and what we should base it off of. Pray that you bless the time in your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So over in Ephesians in chapter 5, we understand that Paul here is giving the challenge to the church at Ephesus, and he is just going through a list of duties and responsibilities in the family. And he begins with the wives. That is not going to be our focus this morning. That is obviously the challenge that Paul begins with there, explaining how they need to submit to the husbands, to their own husbands, not to anyone else. How they need to realize that the husband is the head of the family, and that is obviously a challenge that we all need to consider. But we get to verse 25. And the challenge here for husbands says, "Husbands, love your wives." So first of all, we're going to see this morning how husbands need to show Christ-like love. You see, Paul doesn't just end with husbands, love your wives, and that's the only command that he has in the passage there. Thankfully, Paul gives us examples of what that love should look like and what we should be basing that love off of. It isn't what the world thinks is good, what the world thinks is love. It is a love that is based on the love that Christ had for us and that he continually has for us. You see, should we relegate loving our wives to a card and flowers and maybe making a meal 1 year a day on Mother's Day? Or maybe on their birthdays or maybe one other special day a year? Or should this be something that we are doing continually every single day of our lives? I looked up some really interesting stats. I kind of could guess this being that my wife and I have an 18-month-old. A lot of these made complete sense, and I think they're a little bit underestimated, honestly. But what does having one new kid do to a mom? The average hours of sleep roughly is between 5 or 6. I think that might be a little overinflated. But that's the average number for a mother in the first year of having a new child. That kind of translates, if you think about an average person is supposed to get 8 hours. They said in the stats that an average person gets 8 hours of sleep. I highly doubt that. But if you're supposed to get 8 hours of sleep, that's about 900 lost hours of sleep in the first year. That's a lot of lost sleep. The average mother will change about 6 diapers a day, or about 2,000 in a year. That's a lot of diapers. They will do about 4 loads of laundry per week. That's about 192 a year. And there's a lot more you could go to, but you consider the impact just in some of these smaller ways that becoming a mother has on a lady. Obviously, the men are the ones that are more often than not going out and working, and I know a lot of the ladies work as well, but more often than not, you're going to, at least for the first little while, kind of stay home with the baby. It changes your life. It changes how you live, at least in the short term. And you realize the impact that it has in how much mothers go through. And as husbands, in this passage, as we consider it, how can we show love to our wives? How can we support them? How can we encourage them in this time and for the rest of the time that they are mothers? You see, husbands are commanded by God to love their wives. It's a very simple command that we see in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. But as I said, he doesn't just end there. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Remember, the reason we're basing that love is because in John 14, 15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we love Christ, if we love God, we're going to keep his commandments. And this very command we see here is to love our wives. So as husbands, that is a direct command we need to follow. But what is this love supposed to look like? What do we base our love for our wives on as husbands? Do we just kind of base it on what we see on television? Like, oh, that guy is a good example of how to love a wife. I don't know if we're going to really see that on television these days. Or do we see somebody else and like, oh, I'm going to base my love off of how that guy does a great job? No, we see, we base our love as Christians for anyone. We should base it off of the love that Christ has for us. You see, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Romans 5:8 said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We talk about it a lot from this pulpit, but that's because it is the very essence of us as Christians and what we believe, that Jesus Christ came to this earth and gave his life for every single person on it. That he loved each one of us enough to die for our sins. That he, an innocent man, came to this earth as God and still as 100% man and died for us because he loved us. It wasn't out of duty. It wasn't because he had to. It's because he loved us. And we can never forget that. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were still sinning against him, Christ died for us. And then 1 John 4:19-21 says, we love him because he first loved us. The reason that we are to love others, the reason that we are to love God is because he first loved us. We didn't love God first. He loved us first. And then he goes on to say, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. And a brother here is any person that you are close to. Specifically, John here is talking about a fellow believer in Christ. If you say that you love God, but you hate your brother, you hate someone that you're close to, you can put in here husband or wife. If you hate them, if you don't love them, if you don't show respect to them, then you're saying, in essence, that you are a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? If we're going to say that I love someone, but then you actually don't live it out and you actually hate them, but you're saying that I love God, someone that we have never actually physically seen with our eyes, how can we defend to the world, to the lost and dying world around us, that we actually truly love God? God who we have not seen, yet we have people around us that we are in conflict with all the time that we can actually see. They're going to be like, well, you say that you love this God, but you've never seen him, and yet you're not showing love to those around you. You see, what John is pointing out here that God is explaining is that in this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. It is essential for us as Christians, if we want to show the world that we do truly love God, the way that we can actually show that is by loving those around us. And at the very least, loving fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And even more tighter than that, loving our families. Loving our wives. If you look around the world today, you look at the different relationships that are out there, you're going to see a very large lack of love. And I'm not saying that you can't actually have love if you are not a Christian, that there are some relationships out there that they do truly love each other, but it is a very temporary love. It is a love that is just kind of based on what the world has. It is not going to be a selfless love that is based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If you look at the relationship of a couple that is sold out for Christ, that loves the Lord with all their hearts, and that is basing the love that they have for each other on God, it is a whole nother level of love. And that is an awesome example that we can see, that I'm thankful that we can see in many, many relationships in this church. But that is what we should continue to strive for. And we should never get content or complacent with where we are at in that. But one of my favorite phrases in this passage, when Paul is explaining how we are to love our wives, is the very next one. After he gets done explaining what it looks like to love our wives as Christ loved the church, he gets down to verse 28. It says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. To love their wives as their own bodies. The idea being that as much as you love yourself, you are to love your wife. Let me ask you a question. How much do we love ourselves, guys? How much do we love our own bodies? Either we're showing that through a lot of the time and attention that we put into working out or getting fit or doing things and taking care of ourselves, or we do that through all the wonderful things that we eat. We love ourselves. We like to think about what we like. We love ourselves a lot. We don't have to really consider that, but in verse 29, Paul continues on and explains it. He says, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. You see, we don't hate our own flesh. If you hate your own flesh, then there is something really wrong going on there. We want to take care of ourselves. We care about what we look like, hopefully in one way or another. We care about if we're in pain or if something is uncomfortable. We care about it because it is us. In the same way as husbands, we are to love our wives as ourselves. As much as we love our flesh, as we love ourselves, we should love our wives. It should be just as if we are loving ourselves as we love our wives. It says in verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And then he says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. You maybe have heard this said at weddings before, how they are joined to become one flesh. The idea being that they are now one, that they are now to love each other as one. They are no longer two separate beings. They are two people in the sight of God that have become one and should love each other as one. And it's that picture of how Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and how he loves the church with everything that he has. We, as husbands, should love our wives. It says in verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So husbands, let me ask you today, when you consider this special day that we have, celebrating the mothers in your life, whether that's your own mother or your wife, are you loving her as Christ loved the church? Are you willing to give yourself for your wife? Do you love your wife as your own body? Is your wife your number one priority outside of your relationship with God. And that very fact right there, how we are to all love God number one in our lives, if we are telling that to our spouses and showing them that in how we live, we're saying that I love you with everything that I have, but I love you after God. That is how God designed that relationship to work. If both of the people in that relationship are loving God with everything they have and then seeking to love each other after that, that is how God designed that relationship to work. And it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. How do we practically love our wives? I put a few things down here for you. As I consider, these are things that I need to work on as well, and things that I believe that we see in this passage and all throughout Scripture. But we need to place her needs above our own. And that doesn't mean just in the times when it's easy to do it, when it's like, oh, everything's all set up for me, I'm comfortable, things are okay, maybe I'll think about what I can do for my wife. That means that we are looking beyond ourselves and we are seeing how we can minister to our wives, how we can care for her as we care for our own flesh, how we can show that we love her by what we are doing for her. And that means all the time, every time. We as husbands are to care for our family and specifically to care for our wives. Are we placing her needs above our own? Or are we prioritizing and saying, oh, well, I'll take care of her as soon as my needs are met? No, we need to place her needs above our own. And secondly, this is one that I am definitely learning, is that we need to parent, if you have children, as a team. You know, the relationship is obviously going to be different when children enter the home. My wife and I, before our daughter was born, it was just us. So we could just go do whatever we wanted. Didn't have to find a babysitter. Didn't have to worry about staying out too late because a child needed to get to bed. Things change. And I'm super thankful for our daughter, but it's definitely different. We were able to get away last week over to Seattle for the first night. We've both been away separately. But this is the first time that we had both been away from our daughter overnight together. And it was like, whoa, this is like much different. It's kind of weird. We don't have to worry about a screaming baby. Although it's ironic that we got woke up at 5 in the morning by a kid screaming outside our hotel room door. So I was like, well, that's appropriate. So we still got woken up, but that's okay. But it was a lot different of a feel. And it was kind of reminiscent of what it was like over 18 months ago before we had our daughter. But it was funny as we're driving back, we're like, oh, it was such a great time and good to get away and be refreshed. But we really miss our daughter. It was great to get back to her. But you consider how things change. And you consider how now you have entered in another human being into this relationship, into this family. And how easy it is for, at least I know it is a temptation for myself, to go off to work and then to come back and you're exhausted from work. We need to realize that there are responsibilities that both parents have. The mother is not the only parent. The father is a parent as well. And are we assisting and are we working out this together as a team in raising the children? And you make sure that we don't just come home and kind of shut down. Be like, well, I was at work and I was away and now everything's done. Well, we need to realize that if we are loving her, we're loving our wives as Christ loved the church, we're placing her needs above our own, we're going to continually be seeking how we can assist her and how we can help her. And then thirdly, show your children that you love her. Consider how your children know you two better than anyone else. They see the good, the bad, and the ugly. I consider when I watched my parents as I was growing up, I knew a lot of everything that was going on. I didn't know everything that they would talk about. Obviously, I had private conversations. Maybe something was going on. I wasn't really sure what was happening. I'm so thankful for parents that loved the Lord with their whole hearts. And though they were not perfect, I always knew that they loved each other. And I could see it by how they said it to each other, how they showed affection for each other, how they cared for each other. And I never had a doubt that they did not love each other. And for those of you that had parents like that, you know what that means and what that looks like. But for those of you that had parents that was maybe a doubt in your mind, you know the importance it should be in your own life of showing your children how much you care for your spouse. And hopefully it's not just done because it's something that's good to do for the kids to keep it together. It's because we're loving our wives as Christ loved the church. And if we are doing that, we're going to show that to our children. It means not just doing it when we're at church on Sundays around a bunch of people. It means we're doing it within the confines of the home. And I keep going back to, because obviously my parents are the example that I know the best, I'm thankful that they lived the same life inside the home that they did outside the home. And it's a challenge to me that I need to make sure that I am doing the same thing. That is not just a relationship that I am trying to keep up outside of church or in church, outside of the home, or when I'm out in public, but I need to make sure I'm giving as much effort all the time. And as husbands, that should be our number one priority outside of our relationship with the Lord, is keeping that relationship with our wife and being able to have that influence on our children. And that is how we can best support the mothers in our life. You know, you think about the impact you might have on your own mother right now if you're an adult. You can still show love to her. You should still care for her. But specifically, if you have a wife and you have children, how can you show that love to her that Paul talks about here, that God is talking about in Ephesians chapter 5? But then going on, the next group of people that we see that directly are tied to mothers, obviously, are children. And if you are here today, you have parents. Every single person here has parents, whether you know them or not, whether you're close to them, whether you're far from them. Each one of us have parents that have a mother that has given birth to us. And we need to understand that we are commanded, if we are still able to do this, and whether you're in adult life, whether your parent is still here on this earth, if your parent is still involved in your life at all, we are commanded to do some things that do not stop just when we left the home. But for those of you that are children here today that are maybe still living in the home, children are called to show obedience and respect. And you see, obedience comes within the home. When a child is living at home, they are commanded to obey their direct authority, which is their parents. As we're talking about today, that would definitely be your mother. Specifically, the majority of the time will be spent with mom. You consider if dad is going off to work, your mother is going to be the one that you spend the most time with. My mom homeschooled my four siblings and I and spent a ton of time doing that. And that was obviously, for those of you that have been homeschooled, that do homeschool, you understand the investment that that is. And understand that that's not for everyone, that not everyone does that. But the idea being that I saw my mom put a lot of time into us kids. We were always with her. And I know that she always loved us. I know that there was times that she would have loved to have had a break. It was sad for me and my siblings. We've talked about this a few times since we've gotten older. But one of the key times that we always had every day, and my mom always listens to my messages, so I'm looking forward to talking to her about this moment. But we had a time every day that was called Bible time, a Bible class. And so it was usually at like 10 in the morning. And my mom would put a lot of time into that. We would sing some songs. We would study out a passage. And it was supposed to be the most encouraging time of the day, kind of time you could relax. But it's interesting, for those of you that have ever taken time as a family to study God's word, I would suspect that most of you have seen the same thing. That is when Satan attacks the greatest. That is when Satan does not want that to happen. Because if there was a time in the day that my siblings and I had a disagreement and got along the least, it was at that time. And there were so many times that time just went totally wrong. But we were talking recently and thinking back to those times, like, man, I wish we would have appreciated those times more. I wish that we would have been able to listen more. I'm thankful for a mother that loved the Lord, for a mother that cared for the things of the Lord and wanted to pass that on to us. We need to realize, though, that while we're in the home and we're spending the time that children with their mothers, that we need to see that we need to be obeying them. And we need to do that for a couple of reasons. First of all, because it pleases the Lord. It says in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Then Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. When we obey our parents, when we are in the home, it is pleasing to the Lord. And hopefully as children, that is a goal and a desire from our own hearts. We want to please God. If you're a Christian here today and you are a child that is still living in your parents' home, it should be a goal and a desire of your heart to please God. As Christians, that should be our number one motivation, to do all to the honor and glory of God, to do everything that is pleasing to Him. You see, obedience is also the right thing to do. The end of verse 1 in chapter 6, it says, for this is right. It is a right thing to do. You understand in the culture that this book was written, that it was culturally wrong for children to disobey parents. It was seen as completely disrespectful. Back in Old Testament times, there was actually a punishment known as stoning for rebellious children. Now, obviously, we are no longer under the law, but God's attitude towards disobedience has not changed. God's attitude is still that if you disobey your parents, it is very displeasing to Him, and it is wrong. But isn't it interesting to think about how our culture has changed and how most people would maybe say out in the world today that it's not right for children to disobey parents, but, you know, it's kind of just a thing that kids do. They have this disorder, they have this thing that just kind of causes them to not listen well. Or that's just kind of how a kid is. We need to understand that culture may have changed. And that culture, though it once looked at disobeying parents as a wrong thing, and now it's kind of seen as just kind of whatever, God's word has not changed. God's word is still the same today as it was at that time. You see, though it was culturally wrong for children to disobey then, and though it's kind of seen as okay now, we need to realize that God's word still says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And children, kids, let me challenge you right now, that just because your friends have complete disrespect for your parents, complete disrespect for their moms, does not give you the right to do so. It means that we as children are to obey our parents when we are still in that home because it is pleasing to the Lord and because it is the right thing to do. And that never changes. But then consider those of us that have left the home. We are now adults. We may have our own families. How do we interact with our parents now? When we think about our mothers, how do we continue to live biblically in relationship to them? You see, honor and respect comes throughout the entirety of our lives. It says in verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And that promise is, we see in the next verse, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You see, the idea being brought about here is that if we honor our parents throughout our lives, we will have a blessed life. It will be a life that is well worth living. If you have been through a relationship with a parent that has been strained, or has been difficult, or you've known someone that is, you can see how much that causes a strain on every other area of your life as well, and how difficult that can be. But if we honor our parents, if we respect them throughout the entirety of our lives, it leads to a blessed life. Exodus 20, verse 12, in the giving of the Ten Commandments, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You see, there is not a point when you should not stop honoring your parents. There should never be a point where you stop honoring them. There should never be a point where you come to and it's like, well, I think I'm old enough now and I can just kind of give up on honoring my parents. Once again, just as we looked at, children are to always obey their parents and to listen to them when they are the authority in their lives. Honoring our father and our mother is something that we are to do while we are both here on this earth and continually do that, and it is a command of God. Proverbs 23, verse 22 says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. The idea and the challenge that we see from Scripture is we are to honor our parents, specifically our mothers today, as we see, throughout our whole lives. Are you honoring and are you respecting your parents today? But then lastly, I want to ask the question this morning. For every single person that is here, for every single person, man, woman, and child, can a family show perfect love? Can a family unit, the wife, the husband, the mother, the father, the children, can you show perfect love? When we consider what that perfect love looks like, we obviously have to go no further than looking back at the example of Christ. And though we may never be able to perfectly display the love that Christ has set forth, within the family confines, can we show a perfect love to each other that Christ has called us to? Yes, we can. But we need to remember the challenge that Christ gave back in verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 5. At the very beginning of this passage, when he starts to give the commands to the wives, and then he gives the commands to the husbands and then to the children, he says in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The idea here is that every single person in the family needs to submit themselves to the authority of God, to submit themselves to follow after what he has for them individually and as a family. And you see, when we do that, when each member of the family, when the husband and the wife, when the children are all focused on what God has for them in their own personal lives, then that family unit will begin to show that perfect love to each other. Begin to show the love that God has called them to. You see, love to any person that we're going to meet, but specifically those in the family, must be given out of a heart that loves God first and foremost. We cannot love each other just in our own strength. We cannot love each other for a long period of time at all if we are trying to do it in what we think we can do. We have to base the love that we have for those around us on the love that Christ had for us. Consider once again 1 John 4:19 through 21. We read this earlier, and it says, "We love him because he first loved us." Never forget that. "If a man say, 'I love God,' and hateth his brother, he is a liar." I don't think anybody here wants to be called a liar. I don't think we want to say that we love God, but then we hate our siblings. Or we hate in how we are living our parents. Whether you're in the home or you're out of the home. Are you honoring? Are you respecting them? We do not want to be called a liar. "For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him." Never forget that all of us need to follow after this commandment. "That he who loveth God love his brother also." Or as we could say this morning, loves his mother also. Loves his father also. Loves their father, loves their siblings. If we as a family, and as a Christian family here today, if we want to show the world that there is a difference, that there is a difference in our lives, not just in the simple things like maybe you show love to your wife or to your mother more than just the one day out of the year, but you show the world why you do. You show the world that there is a reason, that there is a person, that there is a one true God that gives you the motivation and the basis for your love. And folks, as we consider today how we can show love to our mothers, and as we leave here in a few moments and we go home and hopefully the dads cook dinner or try to cook dinner and the kids do different things and we try to show love to the ladies in our lives, never forget the reason that we are doing that. Never forget the reason that we are to love each person in our lives is because we are basing off the love that God has for us, because it is the right thing to do, because God calls us to do it. And when we do that, and we continue to do that every single day of our lives, we're going to show the world that there is a difference. We're going to show the world that there is something worth living for outside of just what is in this world. And we can show the world that there is hope and that there is a Savior that can save them from their sins. And folks, we can live our lives as an example and as a testimony to every single person around us just by how we interact with our family. Because it is definitely not in the culture today for a family to love each other. For it to be a pattern of a life that is seen where there is true love, and that love that is based on Christ. Always base everything that we do on the love that he had for us. Because if we're always comparing what we do to that, we're never going to be satisfied. We're never going to be content with the love that we are showing right now, because we always have more love that we should be showing to those around us. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word and this challenge this morning, and this very familiar passage to each one of us. And as we consider how we can show love to our mothers here on Mother's Day, but then to every person in our family and in this church family, Lord, help us to base that love off the love that you have for us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us all to submit ourselves to you. And we would do it in a fear of you and in a respect for you. Lord, that the number one goal of each person here is to live for you in everything that they do. And that when we do that, that we'd be able to see another level of love for each other. And not just in our families, but in relationships with each other in this church and in relationships with the people out in this world. Lord, that we could show the love of Christ in every single area of our lives. I pray that you would help us today to be able to look for opportunities to reach those around us that are lost and that are dying. Lord, I thank you so much for the mothers that are represented here today. I pray that you give them a wonderful day. But Lord, that we would consider how we can show that love to them based on Christ every single day of the year. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could turn with me to hymn number 134. As we stand, "My Jesus, I love thee." Number 134, as we consider loving our mothers, loving those around us, but we need to base it on the love that we have for Jesus. As we sing the song, "My Jesus, I Love Thee," let's consider the truths that we learned in the passage this morning.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin. If ever I love
Pray that you have a wonderful afternoon and a time with family. Look forward to seeing you back here tonight at 5 o'clock for our evening service. Let's go ahead and close in prayer as we are dismissed. Lord, thank you for this time. Pray that you give everyone safety out on the roads today. Lord, bring us back again together tonight as we look forward to a message from your word and a time to fellowship with one another. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Just a reminder to all mothers, make sure you grab a flower from the back table as you head out. Have a great day.